There's nothing unprecedented about the health crisis we're experiencing. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, the death rates are, year over year, they're very much the same. 2020, 2019, 2018. If you examine the data, which is readily available, you'll note that there was an aggressive bug that went around. But it's not unprecedented, as they claim. But what is unprecedented is the government's reaction. That's unprecedented. To enslave an entire society for 14 months. And if this has taught you anything, I hope it has taught you that secular Canada, a Christless Canada, is a dead and rotting corpse of what once was. I hope you see that. And it doesn't matter how hard we yell, and how many rallies we have, and how many politicians say they're in our corner. The walls aren't coming down until this country repents. They're not coming down until there's repentance. Because the problem is not primarily a political problem. It's not primarily a medical problem. The problem is a spiritual problem. And everything you're seeing in government, everything you're seeing in policy, all the destruction, all the despair, is a symptom of a problem that's been there for many years. Listen to this. If we were a people who were obedient to God and had feared the Lord, there's no way they would have shut down private enterprise. Because it's a violation of the Eighth Commandment to steal somebody's private property. You shall not steal. We would have sniffed it out right away, but we couldn't. Because we're a godless and Christless people. There's no way we would have ever been okay with forbidding people from working. You know why? Because it's a violation of the fourth commandment, which says 6 days you shall labor. 6 days. The government has forbidden what God commands, and if we were a spiritual people who feared Christ, we would have sniffed them out for what they are right away. There's no way they'd forbid Christian worship in violation of the fourth commandment. There's no way they'd throw business owners and pastors in jail for no good reason. And there's no reason to seize private assets like our church building. Also a violation of the eighth commandment. And they would have never quarantined the healthy. They would have only quarantined the sick, just like the Bible says. Before those walls came down at Jericho, there was a faithless generation that would have never brought those walls down, no matter how much they yelled. No matter how much they yelled. Because they were faithless. And they didn't fear the Lord. The walls came down when there was finally a generation that feared the Lord. That's when they fell. And there was a people that heard the voice of God and they obeyed by faith. And we don't have that in this country right now. We got some hype sometimes. And we have some noise. But when tyrants rise upon a nation that once obeyed God and held his commandments in high regard, when tyrants rise, it is surely a judgment of a God who is angry with the people. That might not be what some of you want to hear. Look, if we were holding on to the Word of God, we wouldn't be holding on to every word of the Premier of Ontario at his daily press conferences. When he descends from his throne to pontificate minute details about our lives. Everything from whether you can visit grandma, to whether you can own a living, to whether you can worship the Son of God as he has commanded you to. If we were listening to the Word of God, we'd give no attention to that man beyond what he's owed. Our problem as Canadians were here long before the lockdowns. And the lockdowns are a symptom of a deeper disease. It's not COVID. It's a spiritual disease. It's a disease of the heart. And we were in a spiritual crisis before we were in a medical crisis, before we were in a political crisis. There was a spiritual crisis in this land. And the devastating, destructive, disastrous, and detrimental response to the health crisis is the symptom of a spiritual crisis. And some people are just starting to realize there was a problem. Some of us have been saying there's been a problem for a long time. For a long time. This is a country that has intentionally rejected Jesus Christ. And when the time of need arrived, we didn't look to him. And desperate people will take a cure from any greasy tongue that tells them what they want to hear. Any snake oil salesman can manipulate a desperate people. Instead of Christ the Savior, this is a country that has looked to a grossly incompetent and morally bankrupt government, media, medical establishment. And the reason they're morally bankrupt is because the country's morally bankrupt. Let me read to you from Scripture, Matthew 5. 24 through 34. You'll understand why I picked this text tonight. Speaking of Jesus, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. You see? She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garment, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you? And yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
Bow with me for a word of prayer, and I'm going to exposit that text and make some application in a moment. Our Father in heaven, we pray for the Spirit of God to come down upon us right now. We pray, Father, that the sense of the Spirit would be so thick among us in this town square in Waterloo that we would be cut to the heart with repentance. That where there is no knowledge of sin, that the knowledge of sin would be heightened because the knowledge of the glory of God is heightened. And that we would see Jesus. That sinners might be saved. There might be an anointing on the preaching and hearing of the Word of God. You might heal this land. In Christ's name, amen. So today what I'm going to do, tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you to turn to the Savior, the one who was crucified for sinners and rose on the third day. I'm calling this nation, I'm calling you, everyone that can hear my voice, to abandon godlessness and rebellion against the law of God and come to Jesus. And I'm not calling the nation in general to come to Jesus. That's not what I'm doing. I'm calling individuals in the nation to come to Jesus. I'm calling you to come to Jesus. I'm inviting you to a Savior who died for sinners. I'm inviting you to come to a Savior who was crucified and bore God's wrath on the cross, who the full cup of God's wrath was poured out upon, so that we might have the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. That's what I'm inviting you tonight to experience. And the story that I just read is a real story. It's the story of a woman who was sick for 12 years with a discharge of blood. I just read the story. It was real. It happened. And this poor woman spent all her money, all that she had, on doctors. And she had no money left, and she experienced no healing. Rather, instead of healing, after spending all of her money on doctors, she only grew worse after 12 years. But then she heard about Jesus, and she sought Jesus, and she touched Jesus' clothing, and Jesus healed her. This really happened, and it is an illustration, I believe with all of my heart, that this is an illustration of what is happening in this country right now. It is a country that has bankrupted itself and has spent everything that it has to find a cure for a disease. And there's nothing left. Nothing. Very little. And until we get to the end of ourselves, until we reach out to Jesus, I'm afraid that the future might be very bleak, for this is what the scriptures say about a rebellious people. Let me spend some time talking about this story. We have a sick, lonely, suffering, impoverished, depleted, and hopeless woman right here in the story. And I think she's emblematic of where a lot of you might be today. Before she enters a scene, we note that there's a massive crowd that has gathered around Jesus to hear him and to see him and to receive from him. In verse 24, it says, there was a great crowd. So before we have this woman, we have a great crowd that has gathered to see Jesus. And when we are introduced to this woman, she's not given a name. She's nameless. She's a nameless woman. And she has, the text tells us, a sickness, a discharge of blood, a likely uterine bleeding. And this has been going on for some time, but you need to understand that when the Bible talks about the woman having a discharge of blood, you need to understand that there's a cleanliness code in the Old Testament that was designed to prevent the spread of contagion. People would have this type of an issue. They wouldn't quarantine the healthy, but they would quarantine the sick. And She would have been forbidden to touch anyone, and anyone, people would have been forbidden from touching her. Anywhere where she lay down, nobody else would have been able to lay down. Anywhere where she sat, nobody else would have been able to sit because of this sickness that she had for 12 years. She couldn't eat with people. She couldn't feast with people. She couldn't go to the temple for worship. And because it was likely a small community, I imagine that people, when they saw her coming, they avoided her. Because they didn't want her sickness, her uncleanness. This was that poor woman. And it went on, and it went on, and it went on. It went on for 12 years. For 12 years, she was forbidden from touching people and from being touched. For 12 years, she was forbidden from public worship in the temple. For 12 years, she was forbidden from feasting with others. For 12 years, people couldn't sit on the same chair she sat on or lay in the same bed that she laid on. For 12 years, this poor woman was completely alone and completely isolated. This poor woman. You feel alone and isolated? Nobody around this woman understands or would have understood. 12 years. 12 years. The text also tells us not only had she suffered with this discharge of blood for 12 years, but she had suffered further under physicians, under doctors. So desperate people will go to desperate lengths to find relief, and they are willing to buy from any snake oil salesman who comes their way. And so she subjected herself to the doctors of her day, and she suffered for it. For this poor woman, the cure was worse than the disease. You heard that phrase before? The cure was worse than the disease. I think they're saying they agree with us. I like to be optimistic. The Talmud records some of the medical treatments they would have subjected her to, and these treatments are not found in the Bible, but rather they are the stuff of ancient myths and superstitions, and these are some of the treatments that this poor woman would have paid for. So she would have gone to the doctor and said, "Doctor, I need to be healed of my ailment, my discharge of blood." And the doctor would say, "Hey, I'll take some money from you and I'll give you a prescription." And the Talmud tells us what some of those prescriptions would have been. One of the prescriptions is they would have boiled a Persian onion in wine. They would have had her drink it, and they would have said to her as she drank it, "Cease your discharge." And they figured she should have been healed. Another one would, they give her a cup of wine. They'd have her stand in the street, and they'd have a man jump up behind her to frighten her and exclaim, "Cease your discharge." And when she's scared, she'd be frightened out of her discharge. She would have paid money to get that treatment. Here's one that was interesting I found as I read about the treatments that they would have given to this woman. This is the final one I'll give you. They would have had her fetch a barley grain from the dung of a white mule. They find a white mule, get her to fetch a barley grain out of the mule's dung, have her eat it, and if she holds it in her system for 3 days, her discharge will cease. This poor woman. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That woman understood hope deferred. All of her money on all of these physicians for 12 years. Desperate woman. Lonely. Needs people around her. And they just send her these superstitious remedies. The cure was worse than the disease. And you know what? We hear these things. And we think, what a bunch of Neanderthals. How could they do such a thing? Bunch of ignoramuses back then, weren't they? Haven't we evolved beyond that? Apparently not. I have some cures for COVID-19. You ready? How about forbidding families from eating together at Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Father's Day? There's a cure for COVID-19. Is it working? How many Easters? How many Easters now? Two. It didn't work. How about forbidding people? This is really good to your health, for your health. Forbidding people from going to the gym to exercise, or forbidding children from playing on team sports. Surely that'll cure us of COVID-19. Surely. How about shutting down small businesses and bankrupting entrepreneurs? That'll cure us. Have we sacrificed enough yet? How about sending the cavalry to surround a restaurant and arresting a restaurant owner like they did to Adam Skelly in Toronto? Maybe that'll cure us of COVID-19. Or how about arresting pastors? Putting them in jail like they did with James Coates for 35 days. Maybe that'll cure it. How about burying churches and fines and changing their locks and forbidding Christians from worshiping together as they've been doing for 2,000 years? Hey, I got a really good idea. If you tell Christians to stop worshiping together and you lock them out of their churches, I bet you they'll stop. Did it work? And did it cure us of COVID-19? Apparently not. How about lying to us? And saying that it's only 2 weeks to flatten a curve, only to dangle the carrot in front of us by offering all these color-coded reopen charts, only to shut us all down again. Maybe that'll cure us. You see this poor woman? She would have understood our misery to a point. You see what it says about her? She had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. You want me to repeat that? She had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. That's us. The cure is worse than the disease. It only makes us worse. It only makes us worse. We've been duped by a grossly incompetent and morally bankrupt establishment. Who, by the way, have been elected by a morally bankrupt people. By a morally bankrupt people, and apparently a morally bankrupt church. We have churches that are willing to sacrifice the worship of Jesus Christ on the altar of saving the people from COVID-19. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The Lord Jesus bled for his church. He bled to receive his worship. Sometimes the judgment of God is getting what you want. You know, there were a few years ago, you know what the churches decided to do on Christmas Day, when Christmas Day fell on the Lord's Day, is they canceled Lord's Day service because they'd rather eat cheap candy and drink coffee with the children. How many Christians have not gone to church because they got something better to do? Listen, Jesus' fame had spread abroad for all his love and healing, and she had heard reports about Jesus in verse 27. Everywhere Jesus went, people flocked to him for healing from their infirmities and from their demonic possession. He healed the lepers, he healed the blind, he healed the lame, he healed the demonically oppressed. This text tells us about the power of Jesus, but do you know what else it tells us about? It tells us about how oppressed the people were. They were sheep without a shepherd. Why were there so many demonically possessed people in Jesus' time? Why were there so many people that needed healing from Jesus? Why were there so many people that needed the mercy of God? Because they were sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. People are by nature followers, and they need somebody to follow. And God appoints leaders for a reason. And a shepherd of the sheep feeds the sheep, brings healing to the sheep, protects the sheep from threats. He tells the sheep where to go and where not to go. And sheep without a shepherd wander, starve, become prey to wild animals, and wither away in misery. When the establishment corrupts, the leaders, politically and even the church, start to look out for their own self-interests and begin to fleece the people. That's where we find ourselves today. We need healing in the land because the people are as sheep without shepherds. They are isolated and scattered and lonely and in danger. And they're being fleeced by a ruling class. Whether it's the politicians or the chief medical officers, they all keep making money. But the people are broke. They're on drugs. They're in despair. They're wondering how to pay their bills. I saw someone had a sign that was talking about all the suicides that are going on. Why is that happening? Why all the suicides? Why all the drug overdoses? Why? Why all the divorces? I know someone who works for a family lawyer. She tells me that divorces are at an all-time high. Why? Why all the hurting people? Because they're sheep without a shepherd. They're like this poor woman. The entire world just wants something from them, and nobody is there to help them. People that they thought they could trust, voices that they thought they should listen to, people who said they were there to help them, and they find themselves desperate and needy, and they need a good shepherd. Jesus Christ, he protects, he provides, and he loves his sheep. And so this woman knows that. And what does she do? What does she do? She comes up behind him and touches him. Verse 27. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Remember, this woman had been considered unclean for 12 years. So she likely hadn't been touched or touched by anyone for 12 years. She hadn't been touched by anyone, and she hadn't touched anyone for 12 years. She had been isolated. In a small community, people would have known who she is, but she comes through the crowd, and I'm guessing there was a parting within the crowd as people saw her approaching because they didn't want to be considered unclean. So I'm guessing this woman's walking into this crowd, and here's Jesus, and here's this desperate woman. And everybody likely knows who this woman is because it's smaller community. She's the one that can't touch anyone. She's the one we need to stay away from. And so the crowd would have parted. And this dear woman would have gone up to Jesus, and she would have reached out to touch Jesus's garment. And anyone that would have seen it, they would have gasped. Why? Because she's the unclean woman. She's the one that the doctors couldn't heal. She's the one that spent her life savings. That's her. The unclean woman that nobody wanted to be around. Nobody even wanted to sit on the chair that she sat on. She comes up to Jesus, and as you read that text, if you understand your Old Testament, you would gasp. How dare she touch Christ? She's going to make Christ, the Son of God, unclean. But what happens? She touches him. And instead of making Christ unclean, Christ makes the unclean clean. Instead of her making Christ the clean unclean, Christ makes her the unclean clean. Do you know what this community needs? Do you know what we need? We don't need more health tables. We don't need a new chief medical officer. Apparently we're getting one. We don't need more lockdowns, bankrupted businesses. What we need is Christ. What we need is Christ. That woman, listen, that woman was so lonely. She was so desperate. She was so bankrupted. She saw the crowd of people. She saw Jesus in the crowd, and she had one eye on Christ. That was it. Both of her eyes became as one eye, and they were fixated on Christ. And she said, nothing is getting between me and Jesus. Nothing. No matter the scorn, no matter the reproach, no matter the dirty looks, no matter the gasps, everything in her being was focused on getting a hold of Jesus Christ. Everything. That's what we need. That's exactly what we need. Don't wait for the community to get there, by the way. That woman didn't. Don't wait for your neighbors to get there. Don't wait for your family to get there. You've got to be like that woman, and you have to see the Lord Jesus and say, I want nothing but Him. I've tried the world, and it's a waste. I've tried the world, and it's left me wanting. And I'm afraid that this country is going to have to get to the end of itself before we get back to where we need to be. And if there's not a repentance and a crying out to the Lord for the people of this country, a turning back to God Almighty and a begging to Christ for mercy, a coming to the Lord Jesus who died for sinners, I am terrified for what lays ahead. I'm not optimistic. I'm sorry I'm not. I wish I could be. I wish I could say, just go to some more political rallies. I wish I could say, let's just get more organized. But I know that the problem behind the problem is a spiritual issue. Until there's a turning back to God, He's going to fill our face with what we don't want. All these people, they've scorched the earth with destruction. And they congratulate themselves for doing a good job. And what we need to do is come to Jesus. But by the way, I've seen this story play out firsthand. This woman, I've seen this story play out firsthand. Not her, but other people like her. Public health has never contacted me about an outbreak at Trinity Bible Chapel. Never, not once. I've never had someone from public health call me or email me about an outbreak at Trinity Bible Chapel. But we've been smeared as the biggest super spreader in the region. I'm basically a walking petri dish of COVID. We've likely had thousands of people come to our so-called super spreaders from all over the province before they changed our locks. And do you know what I've witnessed? Is they've come into our church, person after person after person. I've seen people weep with joy as they receive the love of God's people. As they sing together. As people hug them and shake their hands. As they see people smile. As they receive prayer. As they sit under the ministry of the word of Jesus Christ. And as they experience the presence of Christ among His people. Being with Christ in the very special way that He has manifested in His people brings relief and gladness and life in a way that people desperately need. By the way, you know it's a really lousy cure when you have to take people to court and get them under a court order to take it. You know it's a really piece of garbage medicine if you got to... I'm liable right now for upwards of $900,000 in fines for the things I've done. Our church is liable for $50 million in fines. And you guess what? You know it's a really piece of garbage medicine if you got to threaten us that way to believe you. Come on. The reason they got to threaten us is because it's no good. It's no good. Their cure is worse than the disease. And if our actions are so bad, why do hundreds today, thousands probably, I don't know how many hundreds are here today, many hundreds, why do hundreds and thousands of people all across this province go to churches that are open freely and willingly on short notice to sing the praises of Jesus Christ, and they've got to threaten us to stay home, but if you give us the option, we'll go. Because their cure is garbage.
Amen, brother.
Woo! And I'm convinced there's a reason the officials so desperately want to keep the churches shut and stop us from experiencing the presence of Christ, stopping us from meeting the heavens. I'm convinced there's a reason. I don't know this for sure, but deep down, they know that they've brought death. They know that they've brought destruction. They know it. They see it. They know that their hand is in the cookie jar. And the people know. And they're going to know. And they want to be the ones that bring the cure. They think they have the cure. More lockdowns, more lockdowns, more school closures. Don't visit grandma. Just suffer a little longer. Shut your business. Waste your life savings. You mortgaged your house to buy a business. Too bad for you. Just do your part. They know they've brought destruction. And they know that under the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they know there's life. They know it. And they hate it because they're killjoys. They hate beauty. They have done everything they can. They have done everything they can to stomp out the last vestiges of beauty in this society. Everything. Have you ever seen so much division? Have you ever seen so much despair? It is the spirit of the Antichrist. I agree. It most definitely is. To use, you know how long it takes a society to learn to trust its police officers? Do you know how long to trust the men and women that carry guns around on their hips? And then to have them wait outside of our church and ticket our people as they leave. And they're standing over there and they're watching us because they're supposed to be doing observance, and maybe some of us will get tickets for this. I don't know. And they need the Lord too. But just following orders won't cut it. Let me tell you guys something as you're watching us and as you're videoing us. Let me tell you something. The men who crucified Christ and drove the nails into his hands were just following orders. They had a job to do and they did it. And they did it well. They crucified him well. And you know what Christ prayed for them? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what you do. And I don't think you guys know what you're doing. I don't think you know what you're doing. I don't think you signed up to muscle in a political agenda, and that's exactly what you're being used for. Those people that have gone to jail, whether it's the restaurateur in Toronto who spent a night in jail or the pastors out in Alberta, they're political prisoners because they have a dissenting ideology. This is bad. But you know where Christ is? Where goodness is, where beauty is, where love is, there's no fear. There's no fear. Look at what happened. Jesus wonders who touched him, verse 30. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" He wants to know, where's this woman that touched his garments? Where is she? Jesus is wondering. And the woman is terrified in verse 33. The woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole story. She's terrified. She came in fear. She's afraid. She's trembling. There's physiological effects to her fear. She's shaking. She has the shakes. She's so afraid. And she's so exhausted in her fear, she doesn't know what else to do. So she throws herself at the feet of Jesus. She's terrified. Why is she terrified? She hasn't touched or been touched for 12 years. She's been isolated for 12 years. She's exhausted her life savings. She's become a pariah in society. And finally, she fixes her eyes upon Jesus. She runs to Jesus. She touches the hem of his garment. She's instantly healed. What has she done? What just happened? In that crowd with that poor, desperate, lonely woman, she encountered the living God.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. She came in fear. And look at what Christ does. Trembling, falling down before him, he said to her, "Daughter," so sweet and tender, isn't he? "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Just go in peace. All is well. Her life was changed in an instant. Notice the kindness of the Savior. That woman was desperate and she came to Christ. And he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Maybe you're weary and lonely and heavy laden like this woman. I want to invite you to come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus. Maybe you've bought into all this nonsense and you're somehow complicit in the terror. You've made money off of it. Jesus died for sinners. He will forgive you. You know, it's easier to be fooled than admit you've been fooled, and that's because when you admit you've been fooled, you have to humble yourself. You've got to become like this poor woman and be desperate and admit that you've been tricked by all these doctors as she was. And you've got to push through the crowd and get to Jesus. All these greedy people getting paid to destroy our lives. Maybe you're one of them. Come to Jesus. He offers mercy, grace, healing, and forgiveness. I want to challenge you today. I'm going to close with a challenge. A duo. I say, let's take a group of people who want to find their salvation in secularism. The officials in government, that's where their salvation is. The loudest voice is in government. Subject yourself to the government and let the government do whatever it wants to heal you from this virus. Destroy your businesses, bankrupt your children's future, soak your hands in hand sanitizer a million times a day, quadruple your masks all the time, lock them up in their homes, and traumatize them with fear all day long in front of a video screen, and tell them that's how you love your neighbor. Secular Canada is dead and rotting. It's dead. You can't raise dead bodies. You need a miracle. So that's your one option. And then there's salvation by Jesus Christ. Trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Love each other like Jesus taught us to. And that doesn't mean hiding in your homes. That doesn't mean being lonely. That doesn't mean making people be lonely. That means hugging each other and eating with each other and building your families and your businesses and experiencing the blessings of the presence of Christ in Christian worship. And the life-giving power of the Word of God. And singing together. Isn't it wonderful to sing together? We were in court for our, I think it was our contempt of court charges for opening the church. And the prosecutor said to the judge, he said to the court, he said, "And I watched one of their videos and there was singing in it." I kid you not. That's what he said. There was singing in their church. And there's a lot more people singing in this square today, sir.
Woo!
Look. Salvation. Where are you going to look to for salvation? Salvation and secularism and the innovations of man and believing that we're just going to keep getting better and better and better and better. Guess where it's got us? We've become slaves. And we think we're free. This isn't freedom. You can't say this country's free now.
Nope.
And there's no end in sight. Only true freedom. True freedom is only found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah. Woo!
I already know what the end result will be. Because I see the pain in people's eyes as they go to the grocery. You ever seen so many miserable people? Isn't it sad? It's terrible. Fearful, miserable people. It's sad. It's so heartbreaking to see what has come of people. But then I see the joy in the eyes of the people of God as they sing and pray together.
Woo!
There is life there. The hope for this country. The hope for this country. Is not going to be found in your secular government. It's not even going to be found in your political rallies. The hope for this country. This is a dead country. Dead. We are a dead people. There is no spiritual life across this land outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only hope for this country is Christ.
Him alone.
And He gives abundant life. What they're asking us to live is not abundant life. It's a lie. For too long, we've run to people for salvation. And we've seen the government as a savior. And now there's a heavy price tag attached. Very heavy. Like this dear woman, may we learn fast that we have spent all that we had. And we are no better. But rather, we've grown worse. And having learned that, won't you press through the crowd to Jesus? Won't you press through the people to Jesus? Because salvation is found in no other. No other. But a crucified and risen Messiah who offers life to anyone who will come to Him.